Jack White, Love is Selfish, 8:34 the time, 26 minutes shy of 9 o'clock. It's the Mornings with Ed Show, a Thursday edition, and my second day back, and my God, does it feel great. Not just to be back and actually standing at the microphone, but to be able to have the other person on the line who I have. Each and every Thursday morning, we welcome our mayor, Sue Kemp, stepping in this morning. Welcome, Mayor Kemp. How are you today?
I'm good, but I'm more importantly, I'm glad to see you back.
Oh, wow. Can I tell you how much better I feel than the last time we spoke?
I'm so glad. You know, nothing like being uncomfortable and in pain to just ruin your life and drain you and take your focus away. It's just hard.
It really is. And I didn't even notice that I was in that deep well of funk. You don't realize it. And I'm normally short with people and impatient anyway. And I can imagine what I was like for the last 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, yeah, it's 100% difference now. And how are you, by the way? You also were suffering from a hip problem. What happened there?
Well, I got this PRP shot 10 days ago and he told me to lay low, which I've kind of done. And, I think it might be better, but, you know, it's one of these things where you're not quite sure, you don't want to test it, so, and I'm going to have to start doing that, but I've been kind of waiting, because it's like you, it's been distracting when I walk a couple blocks, I'm like, oh, man, that's killing me.
Yeah.
I need to sit down, but I don't know. I've walked a little bit. He told me light walking, so I've been doing that, but I'm about ready to start some PT, and they'll just test it. You know, if I need another shot, I need another shot.
Yeah, there you go. And then I have a feeling here in the next couple of months, you and I are going to be the amazing doubles champions in tennis or something. We're going to be out there.
I know. I want to get out there, period. I'm like, sick of this.
Okay. I want to talk about you actually maybe even at some point here in the next couple of months going door to door. We'll talk about that in a second. I do want to discuss just a couple of days ago in South Laguna, we had a barricade situation and it was our first use of the combined Laguna Beach and Newport Beach SWAT units. It was a successful take of a suspect who had barricaded himself in the house. Tell us about that a little bit.
Right. So that was really good because we have a couple people on our police force that are, I think they're SWAT trained or they're, you know, somewhere, you know, trained between a SWAT person and, you know, regular officer. I know I saw the Newport Beach police SWAT team here a couple months ago and they were training our guys. So, you know, because we don't have our own SWAT team because we're so small, you know, we have good relationships with our, you know, adjacent neighbors for support, mutual aid and that kind of thing. But it's kind of a little force multiplier for Laguna Beach because we can't have our own SWAT team, but we can bring these guys in.
Right.
And that worked out really, really well. There's an airplane going over. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Anyway, so it's kind of a force multiplier for us. And it was really good. It worked out. Yeah, I guess the guy, you know, he kind of went after his grandmother with a wrench or something. And so I guess she was in pretty bad shape. But it's one of those really unfortunate situations where we have to bring in the SWAT team and, you know, get that guy where he needs to be.
Right. It was really gratifying to know how well it worked. It really worked out well. And the object was to defuse the situation without it getting worse or without it spilling over into someone else's house. And it was a success. So congratulations there. And congratulations to our police department and also Newport Beach police and SWAT teams as well.
All right. They did a good job. They did a really good job.
They really,
you know, our police department works hard. I really, really appreciate them. And then we need help, you know, we can always get help. So it was a good, you know, it was good, I guess, good outcome for a bad situation.
Right.
So didn't get any worse.
In continuing the conversation about our police department and some of the things that have happened here in the last couple of weeks, I was out when this happened. But the gentleman, the 60-year-old gentleman who was killed in the crosswalk at Pearl Street, Stanley Isaacs, while crossing Pearl Street, I noticed that there is a memorial up on that crosswalk today. It's just 50 feet away from the studio here. And our audience has all morning long been discussing exactly what the problems might be. And I know that a couple of weeks ago at the council meeting, there was a lot of talk about, well, it's people drive too fast down the road, which may be the case. But the answer really isn't us, the city of Laguna Beach, putting up additional speed limit signs. It's Caltrans that operates Coast Highway, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Caltrans does operate Coast Highway. That was a really bad and unfortunate incident. You know, our crosswalks kind of all over the town, they're dangerous. And, you know, even those crosswalks that are off Coast Highway, even the ones like, you know, on Glenary and stuff, when I go home at night, I go, you know, southbound Glenary, and, you know, it's really dark. And sometimes you have people walking across those crosswalks and they have dark colored clothing. You really, really have to pay attention. So, you know, you have to, you know, I always tell people, you can't walk out without making sure every car stops.
Right.
And yeah, I don't stop out there until I see everybody stop and I make eye contact with them. But, you know, that's another here or there. It's just a problem. And, you know, I was thinking the other day at the council meeting, you know, when you go to London, you know, because Americans, we drive on the opposite side of the road. And, you know, they always have those signs that they put on the ground, like look right or look left, kind of reminding people, mostly tourists,
right,
you know, you better look before you step out.
Right.
I was thinking maybe we should put that, like, on the ground by a crosswalk, like, you know, wait for all cars or something like that.
Well, I had mentioned to the audience this morning that from standing here, I've been here 5 years now, and in looking out the window here for 5 years, there's not a moment that goes by where I can't look into someone's car and see them looking down at the phone. I see that.
Yeah.
I see that more often than I see anything else. Is people distracted, even as they're coming up to this crosswalk and they're looking down at their phone. So I think for me, the answer is distracted drivers, and there has to be. Again, I don't know the science behind making car manufacturers turn off a phone once it's in an operating vehicle, but it's the distraction of the drivers. Our drivers suck, first of all. I don't think it's the case of that the crosswalks aren't well lit or well marked or anything. I think it's the drivers themselves in many cases. What for instance, on Glenary, where we do have control, is that an option, is to light Glenary up a little more? And I know we're going to hear the complaints from homeowners. Oh, it's too bright. Is that an option of lighting up Glenary?
Well, I don't know what the right thing to do is. We'd have to really look at it. But, you know, it's just, you know, first of all, I agree with you. I've seen some of the worst drivers I've ever seen on Laguna Beach this summer. Really horrible.
Yeah.
So irritating.
Right.
And, you know, that girl that hit that guy, she didn't report until the next day.
Yeah.
So she was probably been drinking, waiting to get the alcohol out of her system or something. That's conjecture on my part. But that's the only reason. Or else just, you know, wearing on her or something. But, you know, obviously she came, I think she came flying through there at higher speed. I'm not quite sure how fast the car was going, but, you know, it was a really, really horrific accident.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I've seen.
It's really irritating, distracted driver business. I mean, how do you catch the people?
Right. And then that brings me back. That brings me back to the point of our police force. Let's just say we just recently approved overtime because the police force needed officers on the street. So we recently approved an overtime thing. Let's say we were to hire more officers here in the city. And with that, we also purchase more motorcycles. And is that something that's a possibility, is maybe adding police, additional police with motorcycles at the crosswalks and make those almost like stationary spots?
Yeah, I don't know, Ed. I mean, I know one of the things we're trying to do and we are doing is we're hiring these what we call park rangers there for the neighborhood enforcement teams.
Right.
And the reason we're doing that is we're going to hire like 5 full-time, 5 part-time people, and there's already a sergeant, a couple of corporals that are going to manage that. And the reason we're hiring those guys is so that they can work the issues in, you know, around the neighborhoods, you know, ticketing people for bad behavior, whatever it happens to be. They don't carry guns, but they have the ability to cite people.
Right.
So we're trying to do that so that we can get the police department more working on more of these, you know, more complex issues or things that need to be addressed, and free them up a little bit to do that. So that's one thing we're trying to work on. I don't know what the answer is. I'd have to talk to, you know, we'd have to talk to Jeff Calvert and see what ideas he has and maybe what other cities might do. Coastal, I'm sure all coastal cities have the same problem with Coast Highway running through, you know, running along the, you know, out the ocean side of their town.
Right.
You know, it's got to be everybody's having this issue.
I came up with the idea earlier. There's two separate things. I think it's Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken. When it's time to cross at the crosswalk, metal bars come up. So from the street, there's metal bars. That would be an incredible expense. I get it, but it's necessary in some cases. And I thought of this. This is just me being a dumb guy here on the street. That the crosswalks themselves should be elevated, and it should be like the biggest speed bump in town, where as a driver is rolling down the highway, you've got to actually slow way down to go over the crosswalk, even if there's no one there.
Or have speed bumps before the crosswalk to get them started slowing down.
Right.
So I don't know. This, you know, yeah. Caltrans is highly annoying to me right now because we're trying to get them to fix the sidewalks in North Laguna and all the other stuff they've got. There's a crosswalk at Oak that's not working. We've on them about that. It's just, you know, once again, I say this, I've been saying this a lot lately. Nothing is working right, you know.
Right.
Nothing. Everything is late or somebody's incompetent or somebody didn't show up for work. You know, it's a widespread problem almost everywhere you look. But it's just, we used to be so much better before the pandemic than we are now in terms of, you know, service delivery and taking care of business and doing things on time and being reliable.
Right. I've been saying for the last few months here that Caltrans just uses the pandemic as an excuse to be inefficient. That's what they're doing. It's their excuse. They can lean on it, but it's really what they are what they've always been, and that's inefficient. So you're running for another term. Congratulations there. And thank you. And what are your differences from the first time you ran with the priorities you were looking at accomplishing to the priorities you have now in another term? What are the differences in those priorities? What are some of the proudest accomplishments that you've had? And maybe there's some work that's left unfinished that you want to take care of.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, I worked on with Bob Wayne was we did that fire mitigation, fire safety plan, which was really a $21 million, you know, program. And we've been, you know, implementing that all along, you know, so we have, you know, it's a very comprehensive plan. But, you know, things like, you know, we have the water tank up at Moulton, which was heavily used, and now the water district is going to add a couple more on their dime, on their property. So we'll have three of those things, which is good. We worked hard with them on that. And, you know, we have the outdoor sirens. We have evacuation plans. We have a lot of mutual aid planning. We have some undergrounding in some key areas for evacuation up in the neighborhoods. We have road widening in Bluebird to, you know, it's just dangerous to get people out. There's a, you know, big problem. So we've done a lot of good things. So I'm pretty proud of that because, you know, I saw that. We were lucky with the winds. These fires that we've had this year, we were extremely lucky, but it was good to see us up there with that water tank and how efficient that was addressing the fire. So the more we have, the better. So I'm happy about that. And, you know, I still, the pandemic was in the middle of all this. So that kind of threw a mucky wrench in. Because I like efficiency processing.
Right.
And I did that. I've done that in my business many years. And we did that. We started that at City Hall in 2019. We were ready to report on it the month that we had the pandemic. So, and that threw everything, you know, back into the, you know, sort of a, we got to just get through the pandemic kind of thing. So I want to get back on that because that's the greatest way to create efficiencies. And we just got knocked off our game. I am happy that our response to the pandemic, I think, was really good. I'm happy with the outdoor dining that we have because, you know, people really, it kind of changed the town quite a bit because people really like that.
Right.
And I like the promenade. I like the, anyway, a lot of environmental work I've been doing, single-use plastics and refillable water stations and getting trash off the beaches and in the neighborhoods and stuff like that. So, you know, like more quality of life issues. So, yeah, I like that. And then, you know, just what I really like about serving on council is the big projects are good and they're really important, but it's managing the city, you know, smartly, you know, meeting to meeting or issue by issue, and then as these things come up, figuring out what's the best thing to do. I like that. But next, I want to get Laguna Canyon Road undergrounded, and Bob Whalen and I have been working on a bunch of different angles on that. That's complicated, meeting with different agencies, Caltrans, OCTA, Edison, some of our legislators. So we're working on that. And because remember, we tried to pass that 2018, and we didn't get enough votes to, you know, increase the sales tax. So we're still looking for money, and so that's number one on my list, to be honest with you. And then I'm working on a parking management plan also with Bob Whalen. So I want to get people to stop parking in the neighborhoods if we can. So, excellent. You know, I got an interesting thing. One resident, this is one thing that I want to amplify so people know, is I got a picture from a resident who was in Dana Point, and they saw this person had a resident only sticker on their car. And so he sent it to me, he said, "Sue, why can't we do that?" And I said, "Well, because they don't have, Dana Point is only in the coastal zone for 300 yards off the beach. So if it's over 300 yards, you can have permit parking. We can't do that because our whole city is in the coastal zone. Coastal Commission won't let us do that." That's the problem when you tie up your land use.
Right. It's a different ballgame from us to Dana Point.
Yeah. I mean, we could change. Things would be so much better for our residents if we weren't in that situation, but there's no way the Coastal Commission is going to let us change our coastal designation in town. So that really does hamper us. We could do a lot of things if we could have permit parking, but we can't.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we have to figure out other ways, and that's what we're looking at.
Okay. Something caught my eye, and really, I like you anyway, but this made me like you even more. You know, when you run for office, when, you know, everyone who runs for office will get endorsed from one side or the other. Some Democrats will get endorsed from the Democratic Party of Orange County. Republicans, the same thing. Republican Party of Orange County. And those endorsements, they really bring in a lot of attention to the candidate because you were on all their flyers and all of that. But you decided that an endorsement from the Democratic Party of Orange County wasn't worth selling out your values. So there seems to be an unreasonable litmus test from both of the major party organizations, and they'd rather see you vote down party lines instead of researching and considering every item individually, even at the cost of doing the right thing for what is your community and its citizens and its businesses. Sometimes they require this blind endorsement of, like, for instance, all three ballot initiatives to receive that endorsement. You said no to that. And first of all, hats off to you for that. And what went into that decision making?
Well, you know, the vote on the council was four, and then George, whatever, abstained. But of the four of us that voted no against those hotel ballot measures, you know, there were the three Democrats that did that.
Right.
And, you know, the reason I did it was because it wasn't about concern for the workers. It's not that. It's that I don't believe in governing by ballot initiative. It's just bad business. And, you know, what are you doing? Why do we have elected officials if we're just going to keep putting stuff on the ballot, trying to, you know, work around democracy that way? Just vote for the people that you think are best, and if you don't like what they've done, if you don't like what they stand for, then don't vote for them. But yeah, I don't like it because, you know, I used to be, when I was in my 20s, I was a union rep. I worked for Pacific Bell. So I understand the tension between labor and management really well. I get all that. But I think that belongs in the hotel management and versus their labor. And I think they should, if they need to, they should organize like unions have always done for years. They should organize and, you know, see what they can do that way. But, you know, I just don't feel like it's not a city of Laguna Beach issue. Like, if there's a crime committed at a hotel, then you call the police, of course.
Right.
But to intercede in the issues between management and labor, I don't think that's appropriate for us. And we don't know anything about that.
Right.
So, you know, that's how I feel. I don't like ballot initiatives at all. So that's where I stand on all of them.
Right. It's the whole issue of representative government. We hire our elected officials to represent us. And that's exactly what you do. And you do it well. And we certainly appreciate that. Mayor Sue Kemp, what's the next couple of days look like for you?
I have some city work to do. I have some photographs I have to take. When you're running for office, it's a huge... It's a lot of things you have to do. You know, you have to raise money. You have to do your ad. You have to get photos. You have to talk to a lot of people. So you're busy.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to be doing.
All right.
Yeah.
right. Well, I'm glad the hip is on the mend. Keep me in touch as to how that's going, and we can get our first tennis match under our belts. As always, I look forward to our Thursday conversations, and I'm really glad you called in this morning. Mayor Sue Kemp, thank you so much.
Always fun to be with you. Glad you're back, Ed.
Thank you so much. Glad you're back as well. And we'll talk soon.
Okay, you got it.
8:55 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.